You're listening to Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Okay, everybody. Welcome to the show. Jeff Crushell here. Connor Halley behind the glass. We're your weekly source for performance information. And today, we start the show on a very, very sad note. If you've not heard the news regarding the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League's Humboldt Broncos, the team bus was in a terrible accident yesterday where 14 people lost their lives, 14 more were injured. And while details of the crash are still unfolding, there's a massive void in the sporting world today as we all grieve this terrible loss. To the families and friends who've lost loved ones, our hearts and thoughts are certainly with you. And for those who are waiting and standing by for updates on the injured, our deepest hopes for fast and full recovery. The entire sporting community is mourning today at this great loss. Connor, you know, each week we host this show as sort of a celebration of sport. And honestly, today is a tough one. I'd like to dedicate the show to the young players and team members of the Humboldt Broncos who are chasing their dreams, you know, and playing and working in a sport they loved. A very, very difficult day for the sporting community.
Yeah, Crush. And it, like you say, I mean, I was sitting all day. We have this show and then we've got the pregame show coming up after. And I was just trying to think of words to say to just kind of express the feeling. And there are none. It's terrible. It just is an awful feeling. I don't think there's anyone out there that can't relate to these guys. The unity that you have, whether it's a team, a club at any level, might not be as much as a group that actually travels together. But you've played on a team, you've taken bus rides. It's just it's a tragedy and an awful day that happened yesterday. And, you know, I think if you can take a positive out of it, you're really seeing, coming from around the world, the outreach and support that is going to this small town in Saskatchewan. That part has been positive. But, I mean, there's really nothing you can say to those who lost a son, a father, with a coaching staff, you know, whatever it was. It's just terrible.
It is. I think... all we can do is offer our support. And you're so right. We can all relate. We've all either been on those buses or we have kids on those buses now or family members. And today is a tribute to everybody involved in that organization. And the outcry and pouring of condolences has been, Connor, almost overwhelming. And it's really great to see. There's so much good that comes out of sports. And in tragic times like this, you can see not just the hockey world, but the sporting world coming together to offer support, because really that's all we can do.
Crush, this is amazing. The GoFundMe account that was set up for them, I think the goal started off very low, 10,000 or whatever it might have been. The goal is now up to 2 million. They're at $1.7 million raised. So it's really easy to find if you're looking for it. You can just Google GoFundMe Humboldt Broncos and it's there. But the outreach has been ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's heartwarming response. And if you want to offer support, that money will go to good use for certain. So our hearts and our thoughts go to everybody in and around the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League and the Humboldt Broncos organization. Very, very sad day in sport. So let's carry on with the show. I think the boys would like us to carry on and talk about what we talk about. We know we were directly involved with some of the people in that organization, the young players, and we know some of them actually listen to the show. So we're going to carry on here today. And today, Connor, I really do want to dedicate this show to everybody in that organization and in the hockey world. And, you know, we do this show every week, again, in a celebration of sport. And so today, if you're looking to be your best, where do you go for guidance? Who do you look at as to what to do and sometimes what not to do? Well, there's a lot of ways you can go there. We always say, if you want to know what to do, look to the best. So who should you look to? We're going to talk about that right away here. And who should you be thinking, or what should you be thinking of as you plan your attack on success? We're going to get to those details. And then later in the show, a local business has hit a massive milestone. And this is exceptional in the business world and in the sporting world, as United Cycle celebrates 90 years in business this year. They're a fourth generation owned and operated icon of the Edmonton community. They're respected globally, certainly in North America. And today they're making a huge announcement as they're honored by both the business and sporting community. We're going to check in with Kelly Hodgson to find out exactly how far sport has come in the last 90 years. And we're going to get the details of the big United Cycle announcement today. And then finally, a few weeks ago, Connor, if you remember on the show, we ran out of time as we normally do, unfortunately. But we mentioned that we have a few ideas for new Olympic sports. We ran out of time. We heard about it on Twitter. We heard about it because people wanted to hear what our ideas were for new Olympic sports. But today we're going to get to it. And that'll take us to our text question of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, if you were going to add a sport to the Olympics, summer or winter, what would it be? Let us know. It's a good question. I'm really looking forward to the answers there. Connor, if you were going to look to an organization to see what to do in order to achieve your goals, we ran a poll earlier this week. And the question was, if you're going to look and watch and learn from the best in sport, which team would you watch? And I listed the Astros, the Patriots, the Penguins, and the Warriors. I only had four options. So I tried to think of, okay, if I'm going to pick four teams that I might look at to get some guidance or to learn from as to what to do in order to achieve success, I looked at the Astros, the Patriots, the Penguins, and the Warriors. Let's get to this. Do you think those are four good choices in terms of teams to watch? Would there be anybody else you add?
The San Antonio Spurs might be another one. I'm sure there's one in soccer you could look to, but for sure, those are the ones that come to mind.
Excellent. Okay, so let me ask you this. Out of the Astros, the Patriots, the Penguins, and the Warriors, how do you think those ranked in our polls? We had a great response. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of responses to this. So I was quite excited by the data we were collecting. But if you were going to pick one of those teams, the Astros, Patriots, Penguins, and Warriors, which would be your go-to team to look at if you wanted to kind of figure out what a successful operation looks like from within?
You know, I think there is ones that you could pick, you know, and probably have reasoning behind each of them. The Penguins, I probably put towards the lower end. I mean, I give them credit. They've managed salary cap with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and that's not an easy thing to do, but you get two very good talents like that in the draft. The Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, guys that weren't top-tier draft picks, like drafted later, and they kind of changed the way basketball's played, turning it into a shooting league. Of course, they go and get Kevin Durant, which helps a little bit. But for me, it's always the New England Patriots. They've just done it their way. It always works. Bill Belichick has just become kind of an icon in the NFL. A guy who was fired from the Cleveland Browns goes to New England and is probably going to go down as one of the greatest, well, maybe not, maybe the greatest coach of all time, and he does it his way. I think the New England Patriots are a good example of that. And Robert Kraft, it starts at the top, a classy owner, and it goes from there.
Oh, you know what? You've sort of hit the nail on the head here. I'm surprised by your Penguins comment. A team that's about to potentially maybe three-peat, that's special. I mean, to repeat in this day and age is incredible. To potentially three-peat, wow. So I'm surprised by that. But in our poll, just so you know, I'll give you the numbers. Hold on to that thought. I'll give you these numbers. The Patriots won by and far. People would look 52% of the time to the Patriots as to what to do. And that's interesting. It'd be great to talk to these people and find out why exactly. I think we know. Number two was the Penguins. So I was impressed by that. 21% to the Penguins. The Warriors were at 15% and the Astros got a fourth place, 12% in terms of which team you would look to if you wanted to see what to do in order to be successful. I definitely agree with your Patriots comment, and I couldn't think of a better NFL team or an organization to put into the mix there, because they don't play by anybody's rules but their own. They play to the beat of their drum, and Belichick is leading that band through and through.
Yeah, and sometimes you might not like it. I mean, there's been players who find their way kicked off other teams or released by other teams late in the season and then miraculously end up with the Patriots, and you always wonder, is there tampering there? I look at LeGarrette Blount a few years ago. Martellus Bennett, he was released from the Packers, right? Ended up with the Patriots. Didn't play very long, but I digress. My thought on the Pittsburgh Penguins is just that, you know, they drafted two very good players, and they were kind of no-brainers. I mean, I don't think the other teams have really done that. They've had to kind of take the fine play. Tom Brady, a sixth-round draft pick. The Golden State Warriors, there's only two rounds, and these guys were being drafted mid to late, you know, first-round picks. So I just think that those two teams have kind of built their teams up from the ground, not to knock the Pittsburgh Penguins. What they've done to maintain, you know, to have those two players that are paying so much of their salary and then build around it. I mean, you look at the players that have stepped into their system and just flourished. They've taken other players and brought them in. Phil Kessel, comes in and finds a way to make it work. They deserve to be in the conversation. I just don't have them in my top three.
Yeah, okay, and that's interesting you say that. You know, and I'm looking at it from a big picture, and the reason I put Penguins on there, because I would like to sit down and have a week of dinners with Lemieux. And I'm thinking the big picture from a business standpoint as well, because these are businesses that have to be successful. I mean, these guys have to succeed, not just on the competitive front, but also on the business side. This is an organization that was virtually bankrupt, and they've come back from the ashes to be an absolute powerhouse. Would you call them a dynasty yet in the NHL in this day and age? I hear what you're saying, but man, they've overcome some serious things and they've done it right. So I hear what you're saying and I appreciate it. But let's go to the Astros, okay? And I like your comments also on the Warriors, because the Warriors, I believe, have impacted the game of basketball in the way they play. Do you think it's safe to say, and I think you kind of alluded to it, that the Warriors have recalibrated the game to a point?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing teams that are just adding shooters to their roster, because if you fall behind with the Golden State Warriors by 10 points, it's almost impossible to catch up, because you can shoot threes, but they're going to hit threes right along with you, and they've got so many guys that can do it. And, you know, do they really have a big man? I mean, they had Andrew Bogut on the team, who was okay, you know, first overall pick, but I wouldn't say he was a superstar. Draymond Green's been a great player for the Warriors, but I think they've kind of changed the way we're playing in the game and redefined, you know, the modern big man in the NBA.
Yeah. Do you like how they've sort of perpetuated their depth and they continue to be successful?
For sure.
There's no end. There's no end to it. And they're just, I don't see them falling off. I mean, they're not having the greatest year, a couple of key injuries that maybe they weren't quite prepared for, but they're still competitive.
Absolutely. And they do have issues, but what they've done, I mean, they generate that winning culture, right? And they win championships. They've been to three state finals, winning two of them. And players want to be around that. It's like the Patriots. It's like the Penguins. You're going to go to those teams and you might get paid a little bit less. You might not get the long-term deal. It might be a 1 or 2 year contract, but you just want to win. So these superstar players go to those teams and accept their role, whatever it is, as long as they can win. Kevin Durant could have got so much money in Oklahoma City, but was he going to win there with Russell Westbrook? Probably not. So he goes to Golden State, takes a lesser role. The numbers aren't going to be there like they would in OKC. But he's got the ring now, so kind of paid off.
Yeah, and that's got to be a great environment to be in for anybody in the league. There's no doubt about it. I'm surprised by the Astros coming in last. Maybe because people don't understand where the Astros came from. Look, if you go back to 2010, when the team was sold, these guys were bottom dwellers and there was no hope. I don't think if you went back to 2008, 2009 with the Astros, I don't think you could see the light of day in terms of being competitive at the top of the league, not just because of their payroll, but because of the organization from top to bottom was in such a mess. New owners come in, they turn it around, get in some new leadership, and they turn this ship around. It's like one of those big tankers turning. It's a slow process, but they did it. This is an absolute orchestrated assault on success in the sport, and they've done it. And not only that, they did it on their timeline. Now, was the changing of the leagues part of the original plan? I'm not so sure. I know it was in the talk, but I think that played a role, and how they responded to that change was absolutely fantastic. They spent money and got players at the right time. The Astros are going to be successful for years and years and years to come because of what they've done. And I want everybody to understand that behind the scenes, this was absolutely orchestrated. There's no fluke at all involved here.
And I believe it was last year. I forget who the team was, but they sold off at trade deadline, sold all their players. And people said, was it the Twins?
Yeah, the Twins. People they sold off, and even the players were revolting against it because they weren't totally out of it. And then they surprised themselves. If that's what you're thinking about, they surprised themselves and went on to be successful despite the players they let go.
And the White Sox.
The White Sox, right.
Chris Sale, they traded away a lot of players. And I heard people saying, well, this is kind of the Houston way. They're going to trade away. Houston, 2012, 13, 14, had the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Good teams don't get that.
No.
So they were a bad franchise. But from what I've heard, it was kind of patience. It's all going to come. There's a lot of young prospects coming up. Give it time and it's going to work. And it worked out pretty well. And like you say, they've got a bright future.
Yeah, it sure did. So again, there you go. I want to thank everybody for participating in that poll. A real interesting response. And again, we had hundreds of people participating. We got to cut out for a break. When we come back, what did sport look like 90 years ago? There's few people around to tell that story and even fewer businesses. We're going to talk with the experts down at United Cycle about 90 years in sport and what we can look forward to in 2018. Listen, the new technology that's coming out for this upcoming year and 2019 is amazing. Stay tuned. We're going to talk to Kelly Hodson right after this.
Crush Performance, we're your weekly source for performance information. Join me, Jeff Kershaw, and the Con Man as we dig deep into the science and research of talent development and skill acquisition to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. And go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get details on my brand new book, The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. Our goal is to help you get better, and it starts with The Performance Plan. Get control, get focused, and get results. We're Crush Performance. Join us weekly right here on Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
This is Crush Performance. We're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us with questions, comments, or yes, even those beautiful smart-ass remarks, Darcy, I hear you loud and clear here. This isn't a smart-ass remark, but your voice on the radio sounds like you're in your 20s. I think this every time I hear you. Well, I wish I was in my 20s still. It would be a different world. And if I knew in my 20s what I know now, things might be a little different. And maybe they wouldn't. I don't know how much I'd change, you know, based on what we've done so far. But I think that's a compliment, maybe. Young at heart. Anyway, get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. The Twitter question of the day. If you were going to add a sport to the Olympics, what would it be? I have my four top picks. And we talked about this last week, a few weeks ago. I ran out of time. We've heard about it. People wanted to hear what our picks were. We're going to get to it right after this. We're also going to get to your texts. And there's been some good ones and some that I didn't think of. So we'll get to that next. But right now, listen, what does the future of sport look like? Well, a lot of times, in order to understand where we're at and what the future looks like, you need to go back to the past. How far? Well, that is an open question, so to speak. But there's something very special that is happening this year, and that is the 90th birthday for a sporting icon in Edmonton, United Cycle. And today, there was a big, big announcement. And we're joined right now by our good pal, Kelly Hodson from United Cycle. Kelly, thanks for joining us on such a big day.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, you guys have been a big, big part of Crush Performance for a long time, Kelly Hodson, and I want to thank you and everybody there. It's been an absolute privilege. I think everybody who listens to the show knows that our partners are businesses and people that we work with and trust, and we're so, so proud to promote on the show. And United Cycle, of course, is one of our long-standing partners. So congratulations to 90 years. And of course, today was a very, very special day down at the shop.
Yeah, no, it really was. And Jeff, let me say thank you for allowing us the opportunity to partner with you on your show. I mean, you emulate a lot of what we believe in the sport, and you're always challenging sport from a variety of different angles to be better or to think differently. And you know, that's one of the reasons why we've been around for 90 years, is that we consider ourselves to be more than just a sporting goods retailer. We have a bit of a responsibility and a commitment back to the community to do more than just sell a bat or sell a hockey stick. There's a community in need out there, and there's kids in need out there that just want to participate in sport, and we value our position in the marketplace that way. And if it weren't for the community support over the last 90 years, we wouldn't be having this conversation today.
Yeah, no question about it. You guys deserve that support. There's no doubt about it. You've earned it. You've become an integral part of the sporting community and beyond, Kelly. I mean, listen, it was a great press conference today down at the shop, and some very interesting facts were put out there. And one of the interesting ones was the fact that Edmonton was only 3 or 4 years old when United Cycle was founded. That's how far back this goes. And that's how I guess United Cycle has become sort of part of the fabric of the Edmonton community.
Yeah, I mean, it is really mesmerizing. I mean, I don't look 90 and I don't pretend to be 90, but when you think about four generations of owners with our ownership family that's there, and I mean, we're in the fourth generation now, and brother and sister tandem, and Jason and Lisa, and see Jason's kids starting to work there as fifth generation people in the company. And you look at some of the archive pictures from back in 1928 and the 30s and the 40s, leading to where we are today. And man, it just gives you an appreciation. I mean, I've been with United a young 21 years. And when I started, boy, there was 24 staff in the White Ave store, and I mean, we're over 200 now in the location that we're at, and 110,000 square feet, and it's amazing to think about. That's just what's happened in the last 21 years, let alone what happened to 70 before I started.
Well, when you see employees staying with a company this long, Kelly, 16 years, 20 years, 20 plus years, there's something special going on. But when you look at the statistics, I think, you know, one of the things we talked about in our opening segment, if you're going to look to success, who would you look for? And I ran a poll last week, Kelly. I'm not sure if you're listening or if you saw it, but I listed the Astros, the Patriots, the Penguins, and the Warriors as organizations you might want to look to if you're trying to look at or look for successful, I guess, approaches to the sporting world. And United Cycle, I know for a fact, in the business community and the sporting community, would be one of those organizations you'd look to. Listen, only 3% of companies survive the third generation of ownership, and less than 1% of all businesses go beyond 100 years. So again, right there, hats off to United Cycle, because something special is going on. You guys are gaining speed right now. So Kelly, down to the shop today, just some fantastic stuff. And I wanted to sort of start here with our listeners, because our loyal listeners, of course, have been hearing us talk to you guys and the experts at United Cycle for quite some time. But something I want people to understand is what you guys have done for the community. And you guys were one of the founding partners in Sports Central, which is an unbelievable charity that helps kids participate in sport through supplying equipment. And the number of 135,000 kids helped over the years is great. And to know that United Cycle is one of the founding members is truly, truly a great honor, I guess, or at least a great privilege for the city of Edmonton and all the help you guys have provided.
Yeah, thank you for that. And it does go back to what the family is really all about. I mean, Wilf was very involved in the company and very involved in founding Sports Central. And I mean, what an incredible organization, celebrating their 26th anniversary this year. And you think about the amount of people that they have helped over the years and be able to get kids who are not as fortunate as maybe you or I to get involved in riding a bike or putting on a pair of skates or maybe kicking a soccer ball, simple things that you and I would just take for granted. Most people do. And the quantity of people that they've helped over the years, it is really what we're about. We want to give everybody. Jeff, you and I have spoken many times on this show about the benefit of sport, the benefit of a kid being able to be part of a team or an individual sport, and is far beyond just the enjoyment of the game itself. And that, I mean, that it could be enough as it is, but you know, the commitment to hard work and dedication and teamwork and being able to be coachable by a coach and stuff. I mean, those are life skills that these kids will be able to take forward for years to come. And, you know, I really, really credit Wilf Brooks back 26 years ago for getting Sports Central started. And it's really, really fun to follow Wilf and along in his journey with the community, because the moment he gets something started and he gets some people around him and stuff, you soon see him fade into the background and all these people step up and go, and Wilf just lets it happen. And mm-hmm. Before you know it, we're still focusing on that one. And then bam, we're already talking about the next one. And Wilf said in the press conference today about his initiative and trying to get more outdoor rinks around the province of Alberta, certainly in Northern Alberta, and his start of this new campaign that he's working on called Rink of Dreams. And like I say, it's one campaign started, the next one's already going on. And I really credit the family for, like I say, being more focused than just selling a baseball bat or a hockey glove. It's really entrenched itself into the community and finding ways to get kids more involved in sport.
Oh, just signs of great leadership there, Kelly, through and through. Certainly a lot to be learned from the internal workings of United Cycle. We're talking with Kelly Houghton from United Cycle. Kelly, a couple things before we get to the big announcement here. Today we had the president of the old Strathcona area there, and he was talking about his time at United Cycle and what United Cycle means to that small community. And he mentioned something called United University. And I think he was referring to all of the young people who have worked there part-time while they were going to school, or people in the community who have worked there and gone on now to be part of the community in different areas. Such a tremendous contribution that way as well.
Yeah, United University is what is about learning, and we know that the community has a high expectation for us in the store to know stuff, whether it be just simple customer service things that a lot of companies say, come to us, we got the best customer service, and then customers go there and get disappointed because they've got somebody who doesn't have the knowledge to be able to execute on what they promise. And so from customer service training to product training, but I mean, what you and I are blessed to be able to talk to about every month or so is as we talk about the feature benefit of particular product that is involved in sport, the technology that comes and what it does for the athlete. And that's the kind of stuff that we, when a customer comes in and says, hey, you know what, my wrist shot's not really kind of what I was hoping it to be, and I've tried a couple other different sticks and I'm seeing these different results, what do you recommend? Well, I mean, buying a hockey stick's not a commodity. Buying a hockey stick is something that needs to be fit, and you need to understand the technology and how the technology can work for you. And I mean, we're talking about one particular product, and we've got a store that's 110,000 square feet with over 30 different sports. So you can imagine the vast amount of products that our staff have to learn. And so really what Matt was referring to in his presentation today at the press conference was United Cycle University is a constant environment to learn. Our staff have to keep staying ahead because as soon as we think we know it all, the customer's gone and learned a little bit more, and we want to make sure that we're always on leading edge, and we like to be thought provokers and industry leaders in that regard. And it's really fun when Matt shared it. I mean, Matt's a very successful businessman himself, and Chapman Brothers, who are well known in the old Strathcona area for their business as a family-run business. And it was really, really cool to see Matt share his past experiences from working with United Cycle and how he's taken that to be now the president of the old Strathcona Business Association.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, Kelly. I'll tell you this right now, and I think I've told you this before. I know my wife has relayed this to you many, many times, but when I tell my girls, I have three daughters, of course, who have all been down there with me. They've all gotten their bikes at United Cycle and their sporting equipment. When I tell them I'm going to United Cycle, they write me off. They say, all right, then we'll talk to you later. And I'm telling you, if there's people listening that haven't been down to the store, listen, I'll just go float around from area to area, from specialty store to specialty store, because I can't believe what I'm learning every time I walk in that store. Everybody at every department, if I go up and talk to the goalie equipment guys, there's some new NASA-developed foam that's helping protect goalies. If I go to the biking area, there's new electric motor-driven bikes that are going to recalibrate the biking system, the helmets, the running, the soccer, the baseball side. It's just a fantastic experience, Kelly, and I totally enjoy it. And I think there's a very special guest there today, the mayor, made a presentation today that I thought was very, very fitting. Maybe tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so the mayor awarded a proclamation for the family to be able to say that today being April 7th, 2018, that today was dubbed United Cycle Day. So a huge honor for the family and for our company as a whole. I mean, it's the family is very, very modest and humble in the receiving of the award, but they quickly turn it to the community, and they quickly turn the attention towards their staff, and that's one of the most admirable qualities that they have, is that they thank the community, and they of course thank Mr. Mayor for coming to making that presentation today. But for them, it's about the community and it's about the family, and it was just a great honor for the family to be able to be recognized that way.
Yeah, it sure was. Kelly, we're trying to comprehend what 90 years of sport looks like. And back in the early days, when the store began, there was only three staff. There's over 200 today. But a couple of the main areas of business in the store was key cutting, along with skate sharpening. And, that's one of the stories that we hear coming out of the United Cycle faithful for sure. But also, I didn't know a lot of the great things that United Cycle did for the community at the very start. I mean, they offered loans to farmers that were paid off when the harvests came in. They were just such an important part of the community, and it reached well beyond sport.
Yeah, it was one of those, unique ways. I mean, it's a fun story to think about back then, but that really was it. A lot of times money didn't come in at the right times for when sport needed to happen. And the ownership group back then was, they were on record to loaning monies to athletic clubs or loaning monies to universities or loaning money towards farmers, just to be able to get, maybe they wanted to get a new league going, or maybe it was as simple as a team or maybe just a pair of skates for a kid. But we had fun as we went and built towards our 90th celebration, going back through some old financial statements and such, and the seeing that, this one guy owed United Cycle $5.06 back in 1932, and that was on his account, and probably, back then probably could have bought him six hockey sticks for that money. It's just one small example of the commitment to the family and back into the community and such. And if it needed a little financial assistance to help get going, and the family could say, this is bigger than just you or I. It's about getting people involved in sports, and if they could help, they certainly try to find the ways they could do it.
Yeah, and you guys are documenting some of these great stories. If anybody out there has a United Cycle story they would like to share, you can go to 90years.ca and submit your pictures, your story, whatever it might be. You guys are curating all these stories and putting them up on the internet for people to see. Some fantastic pictures there already. It's 90years.ca. Kelly, a few minutes left here. I want to get to a couple other things, and we know that, and so do our listeners, if we want to find out what's going on in sport and what's new, we go to the guys at United Cycle, because the technology, it never stops. And they're, for 2018, 90 years later, 90 years from the start of United Cycle, we're still pushing the envelope, and you guys are right on the cutting edge. Walking through the store this spring, I'm seeing things, Kelly, that I didn't think I'd see before, and it's incredible.
Yeah, technology and sport never seems to stand still. And as sports evolve and as technology evolves, we must evolve with it. We don't like to stay stagnant. And as you start to see, Jeff, some of these things that are new in our sport or new in our store that have arrived in 2018, we're working with our suppliers right now on 2019 and 2020 stuff. And that's one of the things that the last 90 years has got us is that trust with our suppliers to be able to innovate products alongside them. So when some retailers, sporting goods retailers across the country, are looking at the product for the first time as the new catalog gets released, we're seeing it 2 years out, and we're sometimes product testing it with no logos or no graphics on it at all. It's just I remember in our training camp this past year, we had the 2019 sticks out there, and they came to us in black spray paint, and that's it. And the particular manufacturer said, look, I don't want anybody to know about it. I just want your staff to go out and test this stick, demo this stick, tell us about the stick, what do you think? And they interviewed our staff after, and we provide that feedback, and we're anxious to see how that turns into an actual product at retail in 2019 or 2020.
Fantastic stuff, Kelly. Great, great, great things going on. And of course, today, a big, big announcement. We'll no longer be saying United Cycle. Tell us.
Yeah, United Cycle is evolving, like I was just saying, about sport evolving and then the community evolving with it. Is United Cycle has now evolved. And as of today, we unveiled our new brand, and we are now referred to as United Sport and Cycle. And so it's been 90 years in the making. This brand that has been built by the community and has been built by sport. And we unveiled a brand new icon. It's a really, really good looking icon, we think, and we're really excited about it going forward. And the best thing about the icon is that the icon actually has meaning to sport, and it has meaning towards our community. And we proudly unveiled a big mural on the inside wall of our store that explains what the logo is. It's not just an icon like a Nike swoosh or something like that. That is just an image. It actually is something, like I say, that has meaning to it. And the best thing about it is that this icon, like I say, goes back to sport and the community, and it's the reason why we're here 90 years later.
Just a great story, Kelly, and so much more to talk about. Listen, congratulations to everybody down there at the store. We're going to look forward to celebrating the 90th birthday as 2018 rolls on, and we'll look forward to staying updated and talking to you and all the experts down at United Cycle on a regular basis here.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you very much. And thank you to the community as well. And as Jason said in closing, in his Jason Botts, our CEO and owner, said in the closing of his speech, is this is our community, or this is your community, and this is your sports store, and let's go play. And that's really what we think about it is the community is why we're here, and we want to go play with them. So let's go do it.
Love it, Kelly. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, that's Kelly Hodgson from United Cycle. Well, let's correct that. That's Kelly Hodgson from United Sport and Cycle, established in 1928. It is their 90th birthday. I want to thank Kelly for that great interview and everybody down at United Cycle. They mean so much to this sporting community. And of course, they're renowned in North America for all the great things they do. When we come back, we're going to get to our text question of the day. If you were going to add a sport to the Olympics, what would it be? I have my top picks. We're going to ask Connor his picks, and we're going to get to some of your texts. So stick around. This coming
up. If you have performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Rochelle here, the con man. We're your weekly source for performance information. Get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Get our Facebook links, our Twitter. You can get our blog, our podcast, all there, crushperformance.com. And if you'd like to also get my new book, it's out. It's on Kindle right now. The paperback's coming, and the audiobook is the first kick at the author can. And I want to thank everybody for the kind words. You never know how it's going to be perceived, but I'm happy I did it. I enjoyed the process, and it's been great. So it's crushperformance.com. Listen, a really mixed up show today. A bunch of great topics on this sad day in sport, of course, with the tragedy of the Humboldt Broncos that has swept the sporting community. Again, our thoughts and prayers, our hearts go to everybody involved in that tragedy. We'll be keeping them on our minds for sure. Connor, a great story from United Cycle. There is an organization that's really, really impacted a community, and they've been part of that community for 90 years now. Just a great, great story from Kelly Hodgson there.
It's crazy. 90 years. Like, my grandparents would have been just born when this, you know, was built. It's insane to think it's that old and been able to last as long as it has. And cool new rebrand. It's very cool.
Yeah, the logo is great. The rebrand is great. And I'm not going to lie to you, I love that store. And I know people down in the States that come up, and not only that, but the reps. I've met some of the reps for the major companies from Polar, from Trek. They love coming to Edmonton to go to United Cycle. So they build a reputation North America and globally as well.
It's kind of the sports nuts dream. You go there and you can just wander around and just be entertained for an hour.
Absolutely.
Minimum.
You can go try bats. You can go eat. You can go try your hockey sticks. They got shooting lanes. It's just fantastic. Anyway, congratulations to everybody out there. So a few weeks ago in one of our shows, we were talking about, you know, if we were going to add sports to the Olympics, what would they be? And I had an idea of which ones. We ran out of time, and we've been hearing about that from our listeners. So I apologize for that. Our time management sometimes isn't the best on this show.
Even today, we're running out of time.
We're really running out of time. So we got to get to it, because I do want to get to this, because I thought it was kind of fun. But I saw a couple things on the news that I'm going, man, this has got to be in the Olympics. How is this not into the Olympics? And let's just preface this with the Winter Olympics. I really like, Connor, how the Olympics are going right now. I totally enjoyed most of the events, but I like the ski cross. I like the I like the freestyle park. I like all of the cool things that they're doing to make the Olympics hip in sport. If you were going to add a sport to the Olympics, Connor Halley, the con man, if I threw this at you, would anything jump out?
Well, we're getting skateboarding into the Olympics, correct? That's coming in China, I think.
Yeah, I believe so, but I don't know what the discipline is. And so this is actually one of my ones. I'm going to make a skateboarding recommendation, but yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
I'm with you, Bill.
The wakeboarding. I think you know, the X Games, and you can try to get more X Games types events into the Olympics just to make it a little bit more modern. Yeah, you're taken away from that, but man, the ski cross this year was awesome.
It was awesome.
So cool to see that. And the snowboard cross, like, that was probably my favorite event to watch. There's a little risk involved. It's a little bit crazy, but it was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Hey, so on the text list, there's some good ones here. Bowling. Would you put bowling in the Olympics? How about darts? I mean, if you look at the bowl, if you watch, get up on Saturday morning or Sunday morning and there's bowling on one of the sport networks, there's a crazy fan base. And if you ever seen the major dart tournaments, there is like arenas filled with beer swilling, crazy fans cheering for these dart guys. I mean, these guys have unbelievable followings. Could those be Olympic sports, bowling and darts? What do you think?
For sure. I mean, they've got the following. Are they the most athletic? Probably not, but neither is riding a horse or shooting a gun. You know, sometimes those things maybe not the most athletic. So I think it could be, and I don't think there's any countries that would be at a serious advantage.
Right.
I mean, darts, it's kind of a pub game.
Yeah,
I don't know. They do have to let snooker in too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it just keeps on growing.
Oh, it does, man. It could be really, really cool. I like the idea of the X Games. I like making it hip and cool. Here's a couple of good ones, though. Okay, so some really good ones. Baseball. Well, baseball is back, baby. Baseball is coming back. Hopefully, knock on wood, it'll be in Tokyo. Hopefully, it goes to Paris. And after that, it's going to go to LA. So hopefully, we've got 12 years of baseball in the Olympics coming up. Be good for the ball. How about dodgeball? This is on our text list. Dodgeball in the Olympics.
That would be something.
That would be something. I don't know what it would be. Ultimate Frisbee. That's a legitimate idea right there.
Yeah.
I think it could be great. Lacrosse. Lacrosse should be an Olympic sport. Why not?
Oh, for sure. I think that'd be a great one to watch.
Okay. And ice climbing. Well, get this. Rock climbing is going to be a demonstration sport in the upcoming Summer Olympics.
That's something you watch and people will be amazed how fast they can climb.
Yeah. And the type of competition that it is, it's incredible. It's incredible to watch. So I think the climbing is going to be a great addition to the Olympics. Just coming over the text board is ice climbing. Ice climbing would be very cool. Dangerous, man. If you've ever gone skiing up the Sunshine and you see the guys climbing that ice chute off to the right of the gondola, man, that is crazy stuff. So ice climbing could be legit. Here's my list, Connor. Okay. So one thing that I really enjoy is the crashed ice.
Mm-hmm.
And it, of course, was back in Edmonton, Alberta this last winter. What a great sport that is. I think that could legitimately be an Olympic sport. I like it's athletic. It's a lot like the ski cross and board cross, right? I think parkour would be an unbelievable.
Like an obstacle course or something?
Absolutely. Yeah. Points judged. You can be a lot like the ski cross or the freestyle that we see. Dual moguls should be in the Olympics. It would be the 100-meter event of the Winter Olympics. I think the moguls, the men's moguls and women's moguls, is the big event for the Winter Olympics, in my opinion. Dual Olympics would be great. And, of course, also on our board is squash. Squash has to be in the Olympics. So that's my list, everybody. Keep them coming. Let us know what you think. We'll talk about this more in upcoming days. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks to Kelly Hodgson. Congratulations there. Coming up next week, a very, very important show. Please tune in. Anxiety and depression in sport. A very important Crush conversation next week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Please stay safe. Talk to you next week.
This is an Ian Beckles Flava in Your Ear Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Now, for you MMA fans out there, and I know there's a lot of them, and I happen to be one, I'm not a religious MMA, viewer, but I enjoy the sport. I enjoy the competition. I will watch it. I won't pay for it, but when it's on television, I watch it a lot. Conor McGregor is the name. Not doesn't mean he's the best fighter right now, but he's definitely the biggest name in MMA, or one of them. Yesterday, him and his crew basically attacked a bus, threw chairs and bike racks at the bus, and ended up bloodying somebody. Now, Connor, you just finished making tens of millions of dollars in one fight. Get somebody else to throw a bike rack. Okay, don't do that yourself, please, in plain view of everybody. And he was charged with one count of felony and three misdemeanors.
You can find Ian Beckles Flava in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.